The day we call Palm Sunday was a momentous day filled with rich imagery. It was the first day of Passover, and on the west side of Jerusalem, Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor of Judea, he was leading in his imperial cavalry. So we can just imagine all of these soldiers marching into Jerusalem on foot and on horseback, their armor and their weapons gleaming in the sun, the sound of the drum beats in the air. It was a daunting display of Roman power. And it was intended to intimidate the Jewish people and keep them in line. Well, meanwhile, on the other side of town was a completely different kind of procession coming down from the Mount of Olives. Was Jesus of Nazareth on the back of a young donkey entering Jerusalem from the east. And his enthusiastic followers were shouting and waving and spreading their cloaks and leafy branches on the road in front of him and shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Wow, what an incredible contrast between these two processions, all in the same day. So on the one hand, we had on one side of town a military march specifically aimed at holding people down. And on the other side of town, a humble procession to lift them up. You know, Pontius Pilate's procession was basically proclaiming the power of the Roman Empire. But Jesus' procession was proclaiming the kingdom of God. For the Jewish people, the kingdom of Rome meant oppression. It meant very few rights. It meant being dominated. It meant injustice. But this kingdom of God that Jesus spoke about, well, it was a realm of hope and peace and harmony and justice and freedom. That day, you could see and feel the difference on opposite sides of the city. And that bold counter-procession of Jesus, it served to reignite the hope of the Jewish people, hope for a better life and for a better world. And the fact that he entered into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey was highly significant, because in so doing, he was basically enacting this imagery that appeared in the book of Zechariah of the Hebrew Bible. And in chapter 9, verse 9 of Zechariah, it says, a king would be coming to Jerusalem, humble and riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And this king would banish war from the land and command peace to the nations. So you can imagine how excited the Jewish people were when they saw Jesus arriving into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Just as it was saying, they were ready to proclaim him king. But that's not what Jesus was about. That wasn't what he was after on that day. Bishop John Shelby Spong, the late Bishop John Shelby Spong, writes in his book, Jesus for the Non-Religious. He says the crowd wants to crown Jesus their king, but Jesus knows who he is. He does not need human acclaim to be whole. His head is not turned. He rides on. He stays on point. He stays on his mission. You know, Jesus wasn't into self-aggrandizement. His mission that day wasn't to exalt himself, but rather by riding that donkey into Jerusalem to garner attention for his message, right? Because he was heralding the kingdom of God. He wanted the Jewish people to rediscover the truth of who they were and to help them claim their own power to bring this kingdom into being. So this fits exactly with how we in Unity see Jesus. Not as someone whose mission or message was about himself, not someone who was trying to set himself apart or puff himself up in some way. Rather, his focus was on the people he served, essentially all of us. And we see this as intrinsic to his ministry. In fact, we think his entire ministry was around shifting consciousness, right, so that he could help people see and be differently in order to bring about this kingdom of God, which is the manifestation of what we all dream of, peace and love and joy, etc. And so his focus was not on himself, it was on what he was, the message that he was sharing, the lives that he was trying to lift up. And when he said, "What I have done, you shall do too, and greater things still," he was essentially affirming the divine potential in every one of us. Wow. This is an important point. It's a way in which unity is differentiated from traditional Christianity, because in unity we do not see Jesus as the great exception. Rather, we see Jesus as the great example. You see, we don't regard him as being the one and only Son of God, or God itself, if you will. Rather, we regard him as the perfect expression of the divine in human form, what we in unity call the Christ. We call it the Christ, but we also know that we have that Christ potential within us. And we believe actually that is exactly what Jesus wanted us to discover. And so in unity, we see him as our way shower, showing us the way to higher consciousness, to higher awareness. We consider him the master teacher. And all of his ministry was about teaching us. He taught us through his parables, through his stories, through his aphorisms, through his sayings, and most of all, through his life, through his example. And what an example he set on Palm Sunday. On that day, Jesus demonstrated what it means to stand in your truth, to really show up as who you truly are. What an incredible act of courage that was, to stage that counter procession at the same time as the big dogs are coming in on the other side of town. But he did it undaunted, because that's who he was. And this idea of standing in our truth that we talk about, it's not only standing up for what you believe in. What it really means is bringing your whole self into every situation. It means being honest. It means being forthright. Not hiding behind your ego or false pretenses or trying to show up a certain way to please other people or pretend you're something you're not. It's none of that stuff. When you bring your whole self into every situation, you are showing up as the authentic, whole, open-hearted human being that you truly are. That's what it means to stand in your truth, and it's what Jesus showed us not only on Palm Sunday, but throughout his life. And in fact, he demonstrated sort of three key aspects of standing in your truth. He exemplified them, and each of us can aspire to emulate him on each of these three aspects of standing in your truth. And they are integrity, presence, and greatness. So integrity, what does integrity mean? Integrity means that your actions match your words, right? That you are being true to yourself. It means that you are internally aligned. You know what this feels like. You know what this feels like in your own life when you are showing up in your truth. And Jesus had remarkable integrity. He was known for his integrity. Bishop Spong wrote, "The disciples appear to have seen in Jesus a rare integrity. He had within himself, they tell us, the courage to be all that he was meant to be under every set of circumstances." A rare kind of integrity. So he was guided not by the opinions of others, but by his own internal compass. That's what we're after, isn't it? Being guided by our own internal compass, the God, the divine in us. And because of that, he was free. He was free to live fully and to take extraordinary risks. And second, and I love this aspect of him, Jesus demonstrated the power of presence. I feel like he was the Eckhart Tolle of his time. Bishop Spong writes, Jesus appears to have been deeply present to others. He lived, it seems, inside what Paul Tillich called the eternal now. Wow. He gave his full attention to whatever was happening in the moment and to whoever was before him, bringing his full self into it. Have you ever been with somebody like that? That is completely present with you, that is completely with you, hearing you? We have people here at Unity Renaissance that do that. Many of you show up that way. That was part and parcel of how Jesus lived his life. And for that reason, everything that he did, including entering Jerusalem on the back of a young donkey, had increased power and impact and meaning. Bishop Spong writes, Jesus engaged people so totally that when anyone stood in a relationship with him, it seemed as though time actually stood still. Can you imagine having Jesus' full attention? What a powerful experience that must have been, and then multiplied exponentially in a crowd. And there was a deep benefit from that kind of attention, not only people feeling loved, but feeling valued. When you acknowledge someone in that way, when you're fully present with them, you are acknowledging their intrinsic worth and their infinite potential. And by doing that, person by person, Jesus was basically flattening the social hierarchy of the day and overturning the purity system that the Jewish authorities had in place to say who was okay and who wasn't. And finally, Jesus showed us what true greatness looks like. Not pomp and circumstance, not outer displays of power, but simplicity, authenticity, and humility. Jesus knew that, as Eckhart Tolle writes, the great arises out of small things that are honored and cared for. Beautiful. The great arises out of small things that are honored and cared for, and doesn't come from striving to be great, but rather being attentive to what is before you and greeting it with open-heartedness and compassion. So we saw this kind of greatness in Jesus throughout his ministry, these stories about him that touch our hearts so deeply. They were small things, really, but they demonstrated his great love. When he healed the Roman centurion's servant, when he conversed with the woman at the well, when he would share meals with the outcasts, spend time with the children, wash the feet of his disciples, and ride a lowly donkey colt into Jerusalem. Jesus showed that greatness comes from being who we truly are in every situation. And you know, I feel that we are particularly blessed here at Unity Renaissance to have a spiritual community that fosters that. I believe, and I feel it here, and hope you do too, you are encouraged here to be who you truly are, to let your light shine in whatever unique way it shines in your life. It is a wondrous and beautiful aspect of this spiritual community. And I felt it for the first time when I came here 9 years ago for my ministerial tryout. I wanted this job with all my heart, but to be honest, I didn't think I had a chance. Because another candidate who I actually knew had years of experience in church ministry, and she was very well known here. She'd given talks and done workshops. And so I said to myself, well, I really feel that I belong there and I want this job, but I may not get it. So when I go for this tryout, I'm just going to be exactly who I am. I'm not holding back. I'm just going to be me. And when I got here, all of you and all who were present made that so welcome and so easy and so natural. I remember feeling very whole and very free. And that's how it feels when we stand in our truth, when we show up as who we are, we feel whole and we feel free. You see, by following Jesus' example, by living in integrity, by being fully present, by becoming great, by doing small things with great love. Isn't that what Mother Teresa said? We are here to do small things with great love. Through all of these ways, we are standing in our truth. It's so important right now, not only for our world, but for us. You know, when Jesus came down the Mount of Olives, when he staged this procession, it was a pretty dark time for the Jewish people. You know, they were living in this oppressive society. They had very few rights, injustice everywhere, living in constant fear. They must surely have wondered, will life ever get better? Do you ever wonder that? See, we look at the news today and what's happening abroad. We look at man's inhumanity to man. We look at the strife in our own country. From time to time, we may wonder, are things ever going to get better? But Jesus was there to remind them and to remind us that God is still here. God is in this. God is in us. God is expressing through us. God is guiding us to a higher level of being and higher consciousness, and that even in the darkest times, there is a light. There is a light. There is cause for hope and cause for joy. There is always cause for those things. And then he proceeded to demonstrate it with this unusual procession, as if to say, look, look how we can celebrate life and freedom and each other right now, no matter what is happening out there. Look how we can be together, how we can feel the Spirit guiding us. This is the power of God within us. This is how we manifest the kingdom of God, through that Spirit, that undauntable Spirit in us. We can feel that today, can't we? And remember that true change comes from all of us, not from systems and organizations and governments and structures. True change, true evolution and rising in consciousness comes through each and every one of us. So we have work to do to learn to stand in our truth, be who we are, and be that love. You know, we can make this Holy Week our triumphal entry into a more authentic, abundant, and fulfilling life. We can follow the example of our way shower in channeling and expressing the Christ in us. And with that in mind, I'd like to close with a poem I ran across this week, a very beautiful poem. It was written by Lucy, long name, Lucy Newton Bozell Negus. And it offers the perfect prelude to Holy Week. And she wrote this poem after hearing Bishop Spong speak about Jesus in much the same terms that we do. And this poem is called Christ Power. Christ Power. Look at him. Look not at his divinity, but look rather at his freedom. Look not at the exaggerated tales of his power, but look rather at his infinite capacity to give himself away. Look not at the first century mythology that surrounds him, but look rather at his courage to be, his ability to live, and the contagious quality of his love. Stop your frantic search. Be still and know that this is God, this love, this freedom, this life, this being. And when you are accepted, accept yourself. When you are forgiven, forgive yourself. When you are loved, love yourself. Grasp that Christ power and dare to be yourself. Let's move now to our meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Close your eyes if you wish. Take a nice deep breath in. Release and let it go. Becoming centered in this now moment. feeling the presence of God within you and all around you, supporting you, cheering you on. Imagine for a moment what it would have been like for you to be a part of that crowd 2,000 years ago, seeing Jesus approach Jerusalem on the back of a donkey colt. Imagine if his eyes had gazed into yours. If you had felt that deep sense of connection. As if he had a message specifically for you. You feel a power arising in you to break through whatever is holding you back. To step through any misconceived ideas of who you're supposed to be, because there in his sight and in that moment, you feel whole. You know who you are. You feel free to express it. Take a moment now to internalize that sense of wholeness in you and the call of the divine for you to increasingly express it as you for a few moments in the silence. Hosanna in the highest heaven. We feel joy bubble up in us as we celebrate this day, as we feel our connection with our wayshower, with all of life, as we hold in our hearts better days to come and know that we are a key part of that as we stand in our truth. And for all of these blessings and this beautiful sacred time of year and all that flows from it, we are so grateful. Thank you, sweet spirit, and so it is. Amen. Service when we it's having so much trouble with this little guy. It popped off my ear. Okay, there we go. Can you hear me okay? This is the time in our service for the sharing of our love offering in gratitude and generosity for our spiritual community. If you have been spiritually fed by Unity Renaissance, we invite you to give back in kind. There are many ways to make a contribution here. You can find them all out on our app and on our webpage. The easiest way, and those who are present, if you'd like to give via check or cash, we have a love offering basket in the back. But of course, the easiest way to make a contribution, a donation to Unity Renaissance, is by texting the word give, and thereafter the amount you wish to donate to the number
540-418-1228. Text now.
You hold your gift in your hand. Let's bless it with our offertory blessing together. Divine love, through me.